TARDIS and Frosty jingling in the other room. Each week we will be breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we're feeling like. And this week we watched The Lone Ranger.
Let's go.
My name is Danielle, and here are the mad artists I have with me to help break this down today.
Hey everyone, it's Samuel.
What's going on everyone? It's Sniffles McGee.
Let's go, also Sniffles McGee.
Hey everyone, it's John.
John's got to really hit you with the smoothness because he had his birthday party last night.
Happy birthday, John!
Happy birthday, John! So proud of you. So
he did it all by himself.
Who all... I know I hadn't seen this before. Tyler hadn't.
I definitely
John, haven't. Had you seen this?
Once okay. Prior to this, yes.
So you and Samuel had both seen
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I watched this a bunch in high school. It was one of my, like, hey, I just want to be entertained and have a good time and be ridiculous. Let's watch the Lone Ranger movies.
Did you... So, I know there's obviously a ton of other Lone Ranger content. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up on the Lone Ranger. Yeah. I grew up watching all the old TV shows with... I can't remember his name. Clayton Moore was the guy who played the Lone Ranger a ton back in the day. Watched all the old TV shows, all the old movies, yeah. Consumed a ton of Lone Ranger content.
So, John, was this your first...
Cosplayed multiple times.
Yeah, so we have photos, they're glorious.
We have the receipts.
So, John, when you saw this, was this your first exposure to the Lone Ranger, or had you watched other things as well?
I had heard and was familiar enough with the references, like Hi-Ho Silver. I was familiar with the common catchphrase, but other than that, I hadn't indulged in any other Lone Ranger content.
Okay. What did you think going into this? Obviously, Samuel had a lot of preconceived notions just because of his knowledge. But...
Which were quickly destroyed, might
I? I expected, I mean, as sure as all of us can understand, and as Samuel warned us a little bit, I expected something a little more serious, a little more action-oriented. But, I mean, I'm not mad with what I got. Just had a little something extra.
Fair enough. So, Tyler... Had you taken in any other Lone Ranger anything?
None whatsoever. I know nothing about Lone Ranger.
What is a lone and why is he Ranger?
Yeah, I don't get it. Answer these questions, please. No, the only thing that I knew about Lone Ranger was that he's partnered with Tonto and Kemosabe. That's all I knew. That's literally all I knew from the Lone Ranger. And now after watching it, I still don't know anything about the Lone Ranger.
Correct. That is accurate.
I also didn't know really anything about the Lone Ranger. I didn't even know Hi-Ho Silver. I knew about Tonto, but that was it. I knew there was Tonto, and there was a character called the Lone Ranger, and that is all I knew.
All right.
I knew absolutely nothing else. So going into this... I know me and Tyler both were kind of like, eh, because neither of us, I believe, are big Western fans.
Correct.
And not because I haven't seen good Westerns. I mean, we watched Tombstone on the podcast, and that was very good. But I don't know. It just, that, like, the concept doesn't ever super excite me. And so whenever it's, like, time to watch another Western, I'm always a little, like, skeptical. But I was excited because of the way Samuel introduced it, which was the same way he introduced Robin Hood. And therefore, I was excited. And it was very Robin Hood. But this came out in 2013. It was directed by Gore Verbinski, yep. Written by Justin, is it Haythe or Haythe? Something.
I think I would say it Haythe, but Haythe. Who knows how he says it.
Something like that. Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, and stars Armie Hammer as John Reed and Johnny Depp as Tonto. You can buy or rent it on Prime Video, Vudu, Apple TV, YouTube, or Google Play. And the IMDb summary for this says, Native American warrior Tonto recounts the untold tales that transformed John Reed, a man of the law, into a legend of justice. Samuel.
So, Gore Verbinski has not done a lot of movies, but the movies he's done have been very well received and very popular, very successful commercially. His debut was the horror film The Ring.
Wow,
oh, okay.
Really?
And he then directed the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, the original three movies.
Okay.
And he then directed Rango.
Oh.
Really?
Which feels like very Tyler film. I don't know if it is or not, but
maybe.
It feels like it is.
I haven't seen it. I don't.
It's also a Western, though, so maybe not.
I'm not allergic
isn't it
to
also
Westerns.
Johnny Depp
just...
again?
Yeah.
Because he plays Rango.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with Rango is they actually filmed it completely. They filmed everything with the actors. And then converted it all to animation.
What?
So that's the, like, big stunt cool. with that.
It's a pretty Capers, crazy so. Movie. I haven't seen the whole thing, but the snippets I have seen, I've been like, what am I watching? Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
It's an insane movie.
You have to watch Rango. Tune in for the Rango episode.
That's going in the hat.
So, yeah, that's Gore Verbinski. Justin Haythe, I have only heard of one other film he's written. He wrote The Clearing, Revolutionary Road,
nope.
Snitch,
nope.
A Cure for Wellness.
Nope.
And then this is the one I'd heard of, which was the Jennifer Lawrence spy film Red Sparrow.
Yeah, I've heard of Red Sparrow, but I don't know much about it.
Now, our other two writers, Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, they are a writing duo, so they've done, like, all their films together. And to the contrary, I don't know that I haven't heard of any of their films.
Okay.
So they wrote the original Aladdin.
Disney Aladdin. Oh, what? Wow.
They wrote The Mask of Zorro.
Okay.
They wrote the 1998 Godzilla.
Oh, like what? old school Godzilla.
They wrote The Road to El Dorado.
Oh my gosh, such a good movie.
They wrote Shrek.
Wow.
Oh my god.
They wrote Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet? Oh my gosh.
They wrote the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy, of course. They wrote National Treasure. They wrote The Legend of Zorro. And National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Oh, these are my favorite people.
What did you say their names were?
Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio.
I did know those names. I knew those names from the Sideways videos. Okay, got it.
Well, cool. they are a national treasure and must be protected at all costs.
Well, because National Treasure was also made. So John Turteltaub and Jerry Bruckheimer were the producers of... They produced this, and they produced Pirates of the Caribbean, and they were also the producers of the National Treasure series.
I mean, so. Three just absolutely golden franchises. Yep. So, before I dive into the plot summary here, does anyone have any sort of overarching things they want to comment on, discuss, before we dive in?
So, the big thing with this movie, I remember the first time that I saw anything about it, was I went to go see The Hobbit when it came out in December 2012. And the trailer, I didn't know this movie was a thing, and the trailer popped up in the theater, and me and my dad were sitting there watching it, and even the trailer, we were like, this isn't The Lone Ranger. Like, it is, but, like, it's not.
Like, they're saying the words The Lone Ranger,
right. Like,
it's
very
Ranger.
Much, it's very much that, like, let's completely remake this IP for, like, a new audience and updated and all, but
yeah.
Honestly, the similarities between this and the, like, original Lone Ranger stories, the origin story of him becoming the Lone Ranger is the same.
Okay.
In terms of they were betrayed and they all ride into the valley,
canyon,
into the canyon, and they all get shot, and Tonto buries, buries seven graves, and he's the only one who survives. All of that is the same. And that's about it.
Well, and Silver.
Everything else is not.
And there's a horse named Silver.
Yeah, there's a horse named Silver, but, like, him being a spirit walker, that was completely created for this movie.
Oh, really?
Really? I thought that was, like, the catch for the Lone Ranger.
No, no.
Was that he's, like, a supernatural being.
No, that is not a thing.
I will say, though, apparently, and I'll specify it a little more in the fun facts, but this was originally supposed to be even crazier and be about, like, supernatural stuff and, like, Native American mysticism.
Cool.
And
like,
see, that was never a thing.
Yeah, but that's,
like,
what it was apparently supposed
be, like, really
to be about, and Disney said no and made them change it.
Yeah. All the mystical aspects is completely new to this franchise, if you can call it that.
Interesting.
I guess that you can call it that.
Yeah,
it's just... It's wild. It's such a wild movie.
There was a point where I, like... actually pumped my fist in the air and scream cheered when Silver was in the tree, because that was just
well. And they also
so happy.
They also never really explained the whole silver bullet thing.
Yeah,
in this film, like they
when you
referenced...
explained it to me, I was like, oh, that's so cool. This is gonna be like that's gonna be a really cool plot thread. And then they like didn't explore it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so
that's
the whole thing
part.
With the Lone Ranger is that he uses silver bullets because he only wants to shoot his gun at another human when it is absolutely necessary.
See, but in this, it was like Tonto being like the Winchester brothers and being like, he's a Wendigo, so you gotta shoot him with silver.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go. Yeah.
Which is not, that's not what the whole...
Super lame.
Right, the whole thing is that he uses super expensive bullets to just emphasize how important it is, how, like, sure you have to be before you hurt somebody else.
Which I think that's a really cool concept.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And they played that aspect up of the Lone Ranger for a joke in this film.
Yeah, they did.
Where like he's like cringe. Where he's like, "No, I'm not going to shoot people. I'm not going to shoot people." And everybody the whole film is like,
"Dude, don't be lame. It's a Western." Yeah. Yeah. They're like, "Why are you being cringe? It's a Western. Come on, shoot your gun." I was told that this movie was similar to Robin Hood. And I went into this movie with a genuinely open mind, going, you know what? We're going to watch some fun cinema.
And then you got slapped with the horse physics again.
No, it wasn't the horse physics they did. I know that's a good meme, but like that wasn't it. It just... I am jealous of you guys and your ability to get enjoyment from movies like this. For me... You know, because, like, Samuel had brought up an interesting point, which is, how are you going to say that this movie is mid when you would watch Vanilla Ice as Cool as Ice and get a lot out of it? For me...
This is objectively better.
It is objectively better than Cool as Ice.
And I will freely admit that, right? But we're talking about enjoyment now, right?
Because yeah, 100%.
Because I also came back with you and was just like, and you think this is good? And you're like, I never said this was good. So
I said it was entertaining.
So to that same thread... you know, Vanilla Ice is Cool as Ice is not good, but it's extremely entertaining. And so for me, my threshold of entertainment, and I think I kind of realized this last night, was anything that goes really far and goes all in with what they're trying to do, right? Like Cool as Ice is so bad that you're like, this is an event. This is great. And then some of the other movies that I've been huge fans of go so far down and are themselves so much, if that makes any sense. Whereas this movie fought with itself a lot.
Yeah.
And this movie could not decide where it wanted to land. And so that indecision, that back and forth tonal whiplash, because it wasn't fully committing to what it was trying to do, for me, made it really mid, and where it was like, okay, I can't let this movie sweep me off my feet and just ride me off into the sunset, because this movie is too afraid of itself to sweep me off my feet.
Well, yeah, like even, and see, for me, that even makes it funnier to an extent sometimes, like, and we'll get into it, but, you know, there's the super dramatic, like, super sad, like, trying to make everybody cry, like, Native American, like, massacre scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and Tonto and the Lone Ranger, like, just witness it happen, and they're sitting there, and, you know, John is, like, just completely, like, you know, there's no way to win, you know, I guess I actually do have to be an outlaw, and it's, like, super heavy. Then they look up, and Silver has a cowboy hat on and is sitting on in a tree, and it's, like, what is this movie?
And that's the thing.
I loved it.
And it's just different thresholds.
So yeah.
It's different thresholds of enjoyment, because you guys look at that and say, oh, my God, that's incredible. I look at that, and I go, come on.
See, what's interesting to me is that I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong. And honestly, I might be wrong, because it's been a minute since I actually fully watched Pirates of the Caribbean. But I feel like they were able to have, like, serious dramatic moments and also, like, a lot of campy comedy and all of that. So I'm wondering, like, what do y'all think missed the mark with that specific vibe with this movie?
I think that there was a ton of studio interference in this film, and they had a bunch of budget problems.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get into that later. Like, the budget got spiked beyond, like, comprehension.
Oh, really?
With so much studio interference. And I think there's something different, too, because I think the mysticism aspect would have helped.
Yeah.
If they had leaned heavy enough. Because that's the thing with Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Pirates of the Caribbean is so entrenched in the mystical aspects.
Well, yeah,
of
there's
stuff.
All the ghost pirates, and then there's Davy Jones in the second movie, and like, yeah.
And that's something that is part of that world, whereas, and that's a completely original franchise, right?
Yeah.
They're creating something from scratch.
That's fair.
There's no basis where you're bouncing the stuff off of.
It's totally different when you're taking probably the most successful Western IP.
Really?
I think so. I mean, it's super, super insanely popular in the from like the 1930s to like the 1980s. Like insanely popular.
Oh, I didn't know it went that far back.
Yeah, because it was like it was a radio play originally, and then they made it. There have been several very, very long running TV shows of it.
Yeah.
It's like this and Gunsmoke are like the two top like Western IPs.
Okay.
And so taking something that is so entrenched in, you know, the Western genre and then just completely changing it.
And trying to make it Pirates of the Caribbean.
And trying to make it Pirates of the Caribbean is just, is really dumb.
Because honestly, you know what would have been more successful is if they just made their own mysticism Pirates of the Caribbean Western IP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And they just didn't try and slap on
then
the
Then you put
Ranger
the horse in the tree and everyone's like, it's a magic horse.
Well, and they also...
I would vibe with that, yeah.
Well, and they also do that thing, they do the sequel trilogy problem where they make fun of the past. Right?
Yeah, don't do that. You have to respect where you came from.
Changing the Silver Bullet thing, making fun of him for... For not fighting, making the Lone Ranger a bit of a wuss.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. When he's supposed to be he's the original Batman in a lot of ways.
Oh, really?
Like, to the point where Adam West, who played, you know, who was the OG Batman, also, I believe, played the Lone Ranger for a fair amount of time.
Get out of here. I did not know that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the Lone Ranger, Batman, in a lot of ways, was kind of based on the Lone Ranger. And a lot of their values and a lot of he is the Western Batman.
Well, that's and I would have loved that because
and they,
if they showed that moral quandary more like about like wanting to kill people but not instead of making it like no I gotta bring him into justice like they in
Boston law school
they literally made him like lame.
Yep.
And then when they tried to have him do really awesome things, that's when it's like, bro, I don't believe that this guy who you established as lame can do all these cool
things.
Well,
and then, you know, his catchphrase at the end of the movie, and it's funny, right? But, like, you know, he says his catchphrase finally, and Danto, never say that again.
Yeah, and again, that's the prime example, right? By saying never say that again, you're saying to the audience, you're just like, yeah, no, we don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, but why, though? That's your IP. What are you saying?
I didn't have a big issue with how he was just, like, portrayed. Not in those... Not, like, the moments you're talking about, yeah. Like, you know, just straight up mocking the past. But with him being portrayed as this... as, like, kind of the... Not even, like, lame, but just pacifist.
Yeah.
And, like... kind of tracks for me with the idea that Samuel presented from the original stuff where he's like with the silver bullets. Mm-hmm. Like it makes sense that he would have to come from a background of I don't want to fight, I don't want to shoot a gun, all of that to become that character. And I saw this as just the origin story and then he becomes that badass that everybody knows later on.
Yeah.
But at this point he has to learn from Tonto essentially because Tonto is the real MVP of the story, let's be real.
I agree.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into the plot here. So, in 1933, at a San Francisco fun fair, a boy named Will, who idolizes the legendary Lone Ranger and looks exactly like Samuel Ginn's cosplay at age...
Facts.
What age was that?
I mean...
Eight?
Ages 3 to 12.
Well, yeah, because you dressed as... Was it specifically... No, because you would just dress as a normal cowboy sometimes.
So I would dress as either Roy Rogers or the Lone Ranger.
Okay,
one of the two,
gotcha.
Depending on how I was feeling that particular day.
Just for, you know, like 9 years of his life. was Robin Hood anywhere in there?
Yeah, as well.
Okay, so those three characters were his outfits for 9 years. But yes, so he encounters the elderly Comanche Tonto, who proceeds to recount his experiences with the Old West adventurer. In 1869, lawyer John Reed returns home to Colby, Texas via the uncompleted Transcontinental Railroad, managed by a railroad tycoon, Latham Cole. Unknown to Reed, the train is also carrying Tonto and outlaw Butch Cavendish, who is being transported for his hanging after being captured by Dan Reed, John's Texas Ranger brother. Cavendish's gang rescues Butch and derails the train.
Oh my god, I thought you said Cavendish is gay.
And no!
I'm like, what?
He's gay, by the way.
I fully heard you just say Cavendish is gay. I'm so sorry. That hit me like a ton of bricks.
Also, it is absolutely all John Reed's fault that his brother died. Because if he hadn't stopped Tonto from shooting Butch Cavendish in the train, his brother would be alive.
Big correct.
Yup.
Big correct.
Wow.
So, you know, you caused your brother's death. You suck. no, but, so Tonto is subsequently jailed. Dan deputizes John as a Texas Ranger, giving him a Silver Star badge that had belonged to their late father with six others. And with six others, they go after the Cavendish gang. I want to pause here. I will say my biggest complaint about this movie is the awful female lead.
Yes. Yes.
I could not have disliked her more. And her portrayal, even her
performance
just,
was not
her performance
fun.
Wasn't good, and the way she was written was like trying to be like she's a feisty, you know, like feminine or feminist like woman, and she's like trying to be super like tough, but she's just being stupid because her kid is right there and you're putting yourselves in danger.
Yes.
Like that's not a you're portraying this woman as like feisty but dumb and giving her nothing else.
And it takes all of her agency away from
her. Yeah, she has no agency. She's not a badass. Like she's just getting like dragged around from person to person. She may as well. I expected her at one point to be tied to the railroad tracks, like with how they were treating her.
You know, I think it says something when you know the ultimate feminist, Sam Marie, is in the room and she's all like, "Shut up!"
Like she's like, because me and Sam are watching and we're like, "Girl, you're like trying to provoke these guys. If you're alone, then you can do whatever you want. But your kid is right there, and if you're like pissing these guys." Off, they're gonna kill you and your kid.
Yeah,
like you cannot be like this.
When she gave her kid the gun,
oh,
I was like,
God.
I'm gonna be.
And she didn't just give him the gun. She said, "Keep him here," as in, hold this guy at gunpoint while I go do something else.
That infuriated me,
and I was like, "You're a terrible mom and just a bad woman in general." Now that I've gotten on my soapbox about that, that's where the movie lost points for me was in the woman. And then, like, that was just so stupid.
I could not agree more.
Bad character. Badly written.
I do love in the first scene where her and John see each other, though, in the jail, when Tonto's just watching them, like,
okay. He's like, oh, they're gonna kiss, and then they don't, and he's like, nah, and like turns around. Oh,
but
that was,
like,
that
also,
was funny.
She's his brother's wife.
Yes.
Yeah, but apparently
and that's so
she knows.
Cursed.
I mean, apparently she's been with both brothers, and clearly she liked that brother better. So
that,
you know.
Then why did she end up with him? It's just
because he left. He left to go and do law things. And so she was like, all right,
law
I got
things.
Yeah, and then because she's a little woman, she has to get married.
The tea thing.
The
law
things. Yes, but so Cavendish's men ambush and kill their pursuers while Cavendish slays Dan with his dagger and devours his heart as revenge for
Again,
his imprisonment.
Again, if this is a serious movie, that's a pretty great scene.
And honestly,
the whole
I was,
canyon scene.
Yeah, like watching, especially his men, watch him literally carve out and eat this guy's heart, and they're like getting sick and are deeply disturbed. It's why when Sam Marie was like, why do they follow him? I'm like, they watched him carve out a guy's heart and eat it.
Yeah.
If they try to leave, they're dead. Like, they're kind of stuck with this psycho.
Yeah.
No, but that would have been really cool. But they, you know, they couldn't really nail it down.
And I will also say, because this scene emphasized it a lot for me, I know that I think Sam Marie specifically had some issues with some of the lighting, but I thought the cinematography in this movie was fantastic.
Oh, I loved how it looked.
I actually agree.
It looked
I definitely
so
agree.
Good.
That was a huge saving grace of the movie was that it was very,
gorgeous.
It was always pretty to look at.
Yeah.
It looked gorgeous. There were, whenever there were visions that like, that the Lone Ranger was having, they looked so cool in the way they weaved in and out of each other, like very dream sequence. I loved that. That was so cool. Tonto, who has escaped from jail, which do they ever talk about how he escapes from jail?
Nope.
No.
No, he's just out of jail.
The kid asks him and he's just like, shut up.
Yeah, he's like, don't interrupt me. I'm telling a story. which I thought was hilarious. But he comes across the dead men and buries them. However, a white spirit horse awakens John as a spirit walker.
You're to hear, folks.
And Tonto explains John cannot be killed in battle, which that scene, Johnny Depp just having chemistry with this horse
oh,
and, like,
yeah.
doing a scene with a horse
oh, yeah.
was so funny. the horse just, like, him dragging him over and being like, no, 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 this brother, bring him back. And the horse is like, no, it's this guy. Like, throws the hat on that guy.
The spirit horse is either stupid or pretending to be stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just loved that scene of... because we all were like, when Johnny Depp can have chemistry with a horse. Oh, so good. Tonto also tells him that Collins, one of the Rangers, betrayed Dan and is working with Cavendish. As John, which I thought the whole time, I know he wasn't, but even his voice kind of sounded like Joe Cawley.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that Joe Cawley?
Oh,
like,
my God.
It looked so much like him. His voice was close, but not quite. And I was like, this guy is just straight up Joe Cawley.
Another thing, too, is that setup of the betrayal I thought was handled very poorly. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, he betrayed you. Who? He did? What are you talking
about?
Well,
actually, no. I do disagree there, because they did hint at it, and I thought it, because Collins, they're like, yeah, Collins, you know, because he's been drinking all day, they're like, yeah, you go up and check and see if anyone is there, or if anything is there. Like, go look in the little whatever canyon. And so Collins goes up.
I'm following you there.
Collins goes up, waves at them, and then by the time they get there, he has vanished. And they're all like, where's Collins? And then all the firing starts.
And that part I get, but the way they played the betrayal was like he was a close family friend who did the yada, yada, yada.
And I guess
that's fair. See any of that until after.
At all. It's like, don't tell me after something happened that something was important.
It feels like, oh, this is just like the town drunk who just happens to be a good tracker.
That's exactly
what it
felt
like. And then after the betrayal, it's like... He was that friend!
He was that friend!
That's fair. I thought you were saying that just, like, him, like, betraying didn't make sense. But okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Okay, and then as John is thought to be dead, he wears a mask to protect his identity from enemies. Tonto...
And then proceeds to show his identity to everybody.
Yes, then proceeds to do
something
it.
That, super dumb. Which is something that... So in the original Lone Ranger series, he is seen without the mask once, and it's in the first episode... Before
really?
He died. Once he dies and comes back, he is never on screen without the mask.
How about that?
And he never, nobody ever, like, his name never comes up again. He is only the Lone Ranger.
Huh.
He is not John Reed. That persona is completely gone.
Ain't that something?
And again, that's something that they just completely disregard.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why not? Who cares?
Well... Tonto gives John a silver bullet made from the fallen ranger's badges and tells him to use it on Cavendish, whom he believes to be a mystical beast called a Wendigo. At a Hell on Wheels brothel...
But what if he actually was? That would have been
cool. I mean...
That would have been really cool.
That'd be
really
been.
Cool if it was a Wendigo. Wendigos are canonically very scary.
Well, and don't Wendigos, like, actually rip out the hearts of their...
unless you have Vishti.
Yeah, that's the ritual, like, to complete their transformation into Wendigos.
Yeah, that they, like, rip out the hearts of others and, like, eat them.
Yep.
Yeah. So that would track. At a Hell on Wheels brothel Collins recently visited, Red Harrington informs the two about Dan and Collins' fight over a cursed silver rock.
She was cool.
The amazing Helena Bonham Carter.
I loved that character, and I want a D&D character that has that item that's
Ooh.
Just like a prosthetic leg that's also a rifle.
That'd
like,
be pretty sick.
That, like, for like a steampunk one-shot, that would be really cool.
Absolutely.
No, I loved her character, but I mean, who can't love a Helena Bonham Carter character?
Artifacts.
Then, meanwhile, Cavendish's men, disguised as Comanches, raid frontier settlements. John and Tonto arrive after raiders abduct Dan's widow and son, Rebecca and Danny. Regretting his earlier actions, Collins attempts to help the mother and child escape, but is shot dead by Cole, who rescues them. Claiming the raiders are hostile Comanches, Cole announces the continued construction of the railroad and dispatches U.S. Cavalry Captain Jay Fuller to wipe out the Comanches.
They should have done a better job setting him up.
That is
Cole.
Very true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a very sudden, like, oh, he's the villain.
He's now a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we all thought he was a good guy, like, in two scenes.
And there's also no clues until he just monologues it.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Y'all think this movie good.
Well, I mean, it was, but...
No, movie bad.
There was a lot of, like, misdirect that could have been written better. A Comanche tribe captures John and Tonto after the pair finds railroad tracks in native territory. The leader tells John of Tonto's past. As a boy, Tonto had rescued Cavendish and another man from near death and later showed them a mountain full of silver ore in exchange for a pocket watch. The men murdered the tribe to keep the location a secret, leaving Tonto with great guilt, which led to him believing the two were Wendigos.
Which is honestly a good backstory for Tonto.
Yeah, I think so too.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can get behind it. Tonto and John escape as the cavalry attack the Comanche. At the silver mine, the duo captures Cavendish. Tonto demands John use the silver bullet to kill Cavendish, but John refuses. Upon returning Cavendish to Cole and Fuller's custody, Cole is revealed to be Cavendish's partner and brother. Fuller, fearful of being labeled a war criminal for slaughtering the tribe unprovoked, sides with Cole. Which, honestly, that whole bit of him, of the guy trying to decide, like, do I tell the truth and everybody hate me forever for, yeah, like, killing all of these innocents? Or do I side with these guys and
it's the most unrealistic part, because nobody would have cared at that time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, no one would have cared. But if we're not talking about historical accuracy, yeah, I did actually kind of like that beat of him having to, like, decide and just sitting there and being like, well, then I would have slaughtered a bunch of innocent people, and Cole looking at him and being like, are you capable of that? Was a good beat.
Yeah, like, I
liked that beat a lot. So Rebecca is held hostage, of course, and John is returned to the mine to be executed. Tonto rescues him and the two flee. We can't go over that because the way Tonto rescues him, he shows up like posing as like as they call him, a Chinaman, as a Chinese guy with the Chinese hat. So they think that's who he is, and he's carrying a bird cage. And then they look and they see that, like, it's a dead bird in the cage because it's the crow from his hat. And I don't know where they saw the gas. I must have missed that, because they all start screaming, it's gas! It's gas!
So, okay, so that was actually kind of clever. You ever hear the phrase, the canary in the coal mine?
No.
Really? So the canary in the coal mine was a thing that they used to do back in the day, where they would send they would take an actual bird and release it down into the mines. And if the bird didn't come back up, that means there's gas down there, because the bird would have died from asphyxiation from the gas.
Huh. Oh!
And so when he took his bird and put it in the cage, he's coming out, making them think it was gas, keeping them out of the place.
That's really smart.
That actually is cool.
That's actually really cool. Now that I understand it, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bird ex machina.
Yes, bird ex machina. And then we can't gloss over how chaotic the scene is, where your boy is on one of those little railroad, like, carts, I guess, and Tonto hops on one of those little pumper railroad carts.
Oh, yeah.
As everyone is firing at each other, there's a battle going on now that just chaos has broken loose and the Comanches have run in to, you know, essentially just defend their honor because they know they can't win. And as Tonto is just, like, nudges into him, and then as all of this death and slaughter is happening, that we keep cutting back to the Lone Ranger and Tonto just, like, slowly, like...
Very Jack Sparrow.
It was very Pirates of the Caribbean, and I could not stop laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is just such a tone shift between, like, slaughter and then just, la-di-da, we gotta get out of here, goodbye. Like, oh my god. Oh, it was so funny. Yes, so realizing Cole is too powerful to be taken down lawfully and regretful since his arrogance in ignoring Tonto led to the mass slaughter of the Comanches and the kidnapping of his loved ones, John dons the mask again. At Promontory Summit during...
Promontory.
That's one of those words that I've read a bunch, but I don't know.
I think it's Promontory.
Yeah.
All right, Promontory Summit. During the railroad's union ceremony, Cole reveals his true plan to take control of the railroad company and use the mine silver to gain
and just
power.
Shoots the CEO in the butt.
That was very
like, straight
funny.
Up.
That was very entertaining.
Oh my gosh,
my gluteus!
So stupid.
It's like,
and
anybody
funny.
Else got something to say?
Oh my gosh!
I nominate you. Yeah.
Well, John and Tonto steal nitroglycerin and use it to destroy a railroad bridge. With Red's help, Tonto steals the train with the silver, and Cole, Cavendish, and Fuller pursue him in a second train on which Rebecca and Dan Jr. are being held captive.
Let's not forget when Cole was just like, I want to touch your ivory leg.
No, I don't think it was Coley. Yeah, it was Fuller. It was.
Yeah.
I got his name wrong.
Yes.
No, yeah, because Fuller is like she. Fuller. She's like he's like Ivory, and she's like you want to touch it, and just like and he's just like caressing her leg as she's aiming the gun to like blow up a yep. wagon. Oh, it's so cool. She's such like a small character, but I love her.
Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah, I love her so much. So on horseback, John pursues both trains. After a furious chase and fights on both trains...
With a 10-minute rendition of the William Tell Overture.
So good. Yep. John kills Cavendish and Fuller and rescues Rebecca and Dan Jr., leading to, like, the worst kiss of all time.
Wrong, brother. Not today.
And I'm just like, girl, get out of here. Throw her off the horse.
I hate that. She, not 6 hours ago, found out that her husband died.
Yeah. And then she's just like, really reminds me of this musical. Now I get to be with the brother I wanted.
My book at your head.
Thank God I get to be with the brother I was actually in love with. And I'm just like, girl, can you grieve your husband for like 5 minutes before making out with his brother?
Can you grieve your husband?
Just for like two minutes. She never does. She finds out he's dead, and then Danny is
like... Can you just like grieve your husband?
Honestly, because Danny is sitting there, poor kid, looks at his mom and is like, is my dad dead? And she's just kind of like... Give me the gun.
Yeah,
she's like, shut up, kid. I'm talking to your uncle.
not looking sad. She's just kind of like, ooh, like, yeah, I mean, he is, but I don't want to say it because he got a gun.
I ain't
going to
say it.
No, it was so stupid.
Danny's got a gun.
What are y'all on?
Danny's got a gun.
Well, Tonto hands back Cole the pocket watch he kept for all those past years before the train drives off the destroyed bridge.
What bridge?
Drowning Cole underneath all the silver, which was very poetic. And
the, again, the cinematography and the shot of Cole falling with the silver and all was so
good.
Freaking good.
Yeah, very much so.
Buried in his greed. It was great. The town recognizes John as a hero and offers him a law enforcement position, but John declines and rides off with Tonto. Back in 1933, Will questions the truth of the story, to which Tonto gives him a silver bullet, tells him to decide for himself, and leaves in the form of a crow.
And I guess that's the other thing, is this is a reliable, an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, it's Tonto's perspective.
That's something else to consider.
Yeah.
But still.
Inspired, Will puts a mask over his face. And that is the Lone
Ranger. Proceeds to become Samuel Ginn.
He becomes Samuel Ginn. Honestly, he even kind of looked like you a little bit. I was like, is this just Samuel?
Dude,
like,
I would lose my mind if Samuel's just like, and I remember starring in that film. It was great.
In 2013.
So you know that film that you're hating on?
This was my life's work.
Well, that was the Lone Ranger, guys. If you had to rename this movie, what would it be? I would go with Hi-Ho Silver.
Gosh.
The Ranger.
Get out of here.
Ranger by itself.
Get out of here.
If you will.
I feel like it has to be Kemosabe.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get on the Kemosabe train.
Okay.
Or the Wrong Brother.
The truth is it really shouldn't be anything other than the Lone Ranger. I mean, the Lone Ranger and Tonto, I don't know. It's hard.
So creative.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Yeah. Well, because that was one of the shows was called that.
I would have just called it Tonto.
Yeah.
Like, just Tonto.
Oh, just Tonto?
Yeah.
Tonto, like Johnny Depp.
Forget the Lone Ranger.
Forget the Lone Ranger. It's Tonto. I mean, it is Tonto's story, so, you know. I went on Amazon. The general consensus is pretty good. 75% of viewers rated it 5 stars.
Let's go.
Do you guys want positive or negative first?
Let's go positive first and then negative.
Yeah.
Okay. I really had to go through these because... With both the positives and the negatives, a lot of times it was either a novel of text or one sentence. And so, like, I kind of found one that's in between, but it is also a little long, so I'm going to try and skip around. It's by someone that's just named Soar, and this was from 2014, and it's titled, Movie Very Good, Better Than Reviews Indicate. So here we go.
Caveman learned how to use computer.
Exactly.
I also have a positive review after you're done.
Okay. I am truly glad I decided to watch the movie ignoring the low review summary, 3 of 5 stars, when I initially was looking at this. This is one of the more enjoyable movies that I've watched in a long time. Perhaps I came into this with less preconceptions than others. I'm not a Depp fanboy, I'm not an avid original series watcher, so didn't have that preoccupying me when watching. The movie is long, 2.5 hours, and goes at swift and slow paces. To me, the pace changes and the plot feels correct, Oh, he's saying, like, the pace changes and the plot feel correct. The movie kind of, you know, flip-flows between drama to humor to slapstick to action to Indiana Jones-type action. There is one thing I want to call out. I feel Depp did a truly solid job of portraying a man with overwhelming sadness and a deep wound. He doesn't do it in an in-your-face, you-must-feel-bad-for-me manner. He does it by staying in character every moment, every scene. Everything he does is believable to me. Was impressed. Anyway, good movie. Watch it. Enjoy it.
I agree with what they said about Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a positive review before we move on. And I'll tell you whose review this was after I read it.
Okay.
The first, this is one of the 10 best films of 2013, easily. Okay. The first 45 minutes are excellent.
I know who this is already.
The next 45 minutes are a little soft work. It was a bad idea to split the bad guys into two groups. It takes hours to explain and nobody cares. Then comes the train scene, absolutely incredible. When I saw it, I kept thinking, what, that's the film that everybody says is crap? Seriously? That being said, I have a little problem with the film. I like Tonto's backstory, the idea that his tribe got slaughtered because of him, real comic book. But the slaughter of the tribe by gunfire from the cavalry left a bitter taste in my mouth. The Indians have really been victims of a genocide, so slaughtering them again in a very Buster Keaton-style movie ruined the fun a bit for me.
Ooh,
simply found it ugly.
Really good point.
Making
very
fun
fair.
Of this when America really did it, it bothers me. But that doesn't stop it from being an excellent film, but they could have done without that part.
Before you say who it is, who do you guys think it is? It's a famous person. It's very famous person. Who do you think it is?
Rick Harper. It's a famous person who said that?
I only know it because the first sentence gave it away because I saw it in the fun facts.
Yep.
I don't know.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Puts this in his top 10 films of 2013. And
what?
One of his most underrated films of the 2010s.
Okay, that's weird and odd.
And also, this is just a little note that I had about it. Jerry Bruckheimer and Johnny Depp have said publicly that they think that the reason that it got such bad critical reviews in America were because of all of the drama surrounding the production budget, because internationally, this film got amazing reviews.
Really?
It did really well in Europe, really well in Asia. American critics panned it, and like critics from everywhere
else
loved it.
I'll go into some deeper stuff with that because I have some more info just like on why that is. I also have the negative review here.
Why'd that be?
I'm definitely going to shorten this one as well because it's another long one. This is from S. Olson, and this was also in 2014. And it's
Solson?
The Solson. And it's titled, I Should Have Listened.
Tyler be like.
The reviews I heard and read all said this was a bad movie, but the trailer made it look like a lot of fun. I thought maybe reviewers just don't like a fun movie. Lesson learned, pay attention to reviews. One of the many problems with this movie is it can't quite decide whether to be dark and heavy or cheesy and campy.
Holler if you hear me now.
The result feels like cinematic bends. You go way down deep where the pressure is intense, but then you rock it up to the shallows. That hurts. There is also a disjointed story within a story structure, kind of like The Princess Bride, but without any suave or clever Peter Falk. The plot meanders along, never settling into a secure stride. There is naive, idealistic, college-educated young man... all the different characters. And the legendary albino horse. But they all just swirl vaguely around each other, without ever coalescing into a coherent story. Of them all, the horse is the most nuanced character.
Let's go.
I will say, the one redeeming part of the whole film is the final chase scene. In this concluding segment, the movie settles at last into cheesy, campy silliness, with high-speed hijinks and impossible near misses. But overall, do yourself a favor. Don't rent the whole film. Save your money and just watch the trailer 60 times. 1 star.
60 times. That's funny.
And, So, this did actually get nominated for a couple of Oscars for Best Makeup and Hairstyling and Best Visual Effects,
that
which
tracks.
I agree with. What do you guys think critically this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes? Knowing everything you know about, like, how the critics receive this.
Jeez.
I'm gonna,
is this rated critically?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a guess and say like 35%.
45.
Yeah. So you said 35, you said 45.
Go with 47.
Sorry, I thought you were going to be thinking a little longer there.
I
wasn't trying to jump on top.
You're totally fine.
It's definitely Samuel. It was 31.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
how about
lower.
That?
But now the audience score out of 100.
I think this is going to be substantially higher. I'm going to say 50. D7.
Okay.
Oh, that was real close to where I was at. I'll say 50.
Okay.
We'll go 64.
Well, that one is Tyler, because it was 51.
Oh.
So you were right there.
How about it?
And now IMDb score out of 10.
It's time to use the horse method.
Oh boy. All right.
Especially with the Lone Ranger.
I knew you were going to use the horse method at some episode.
We put it on break. I had to recharge. It had to bask in the sunlight a little bit, get a little energy. So, the Lone Ranger, right? One ranger, because he's alone. But he's with Tonto, so that's two. We'll put the two to the side. There's one horse. The horse is silver. However, there are other horses. Okay?
There are other
Think
horses.
About that. Other horses, I would say there were probably, 32 horses in total, right?
Okay.
We said that there were two people, Tonto, the Lone Ranger, put them together. That's 64, okay? But we know that this is IMDb, so it's out of 10. So it's got to be a 6.4.
Okay.
Horse method.
What do y'all think?
Not 6.4. I'm going to go with 5.3.
Okay.
Let's go with the static 6.
I hate you, Tyler. You got it exactly. I hate you so much.
Got him! Let's go, baby!
It's a 6.4 on the dot.
Why does it work?
I don't know why it works, and I hate it.
It shouldn't work.
I'm convinced he's cheating. That convinced me that he cheats.
No, he's not cheating.
That convinced me that he cheats.
Dude, I play Slay the Spire on my phone casually. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm not cheating.
All right, well, that's incredible. The budget for this movie was between like 225 and 250 million.
Whew. Jeez,
the box office was $260.5 million, which would be a small profit if they hadn't had to spend $150 million on marketing.
Yeah.
So, big loss. Big boy loss. Here's just some fun facts I found. So, in an interview, Johnny Depp thanked his stunt horse, Scout, for saving his life after a violent fall during filming.
Whoa, what?
After Scout dragged Depp 25 feet, Scout jumped over him to avoid stepping on him. A clip of the fall shows the horse clearly jumping over Depp and detaching him from the saddle. Depp suffered only minor bruises and scrapes, but says it could have been a lot worse if the horse had stepped on him.
Wow. That's awesome. That's super cool.
So we simp Scout on here.
We simp horses? Let's go.
The frame story where young Will meets the old Tonto takes place in 1933, the year of the first Lone Ranger radio broadcast, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's neat.
The film was nearly canceled due to obstacles during production, including bad weather, wildfires, a chickenpox outbreak, and a crew member's accidental death.
What? Someone died?
Yep, and that's all it says. There's no detail about it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. The plot, like I said, this is just going into a little more detail. The plot was originally supposed to focus more on supernatural elements and Native American mysticism. It included werewolves, which explained the silver bullets. However, this draft was supposedly part of another $250 million proposal that Disney quickly canceled after John Carter bombed. When the project was revamped to meet Disney's approval, it was more like the current script.
Huh.
To minimize the film's overall cost, Gore Verbinski, Jerry Bruckheimer, Johnny Depp, and Armie Hammer equally deferred 20% of their salaries.
Wow. Yep. Oh my god.
They must have really believed in this film.
Well, they did, and this is going into it a little bit. So, all four of them openly criticized American critics' reviews. Depp said, quote, "The reviews were written 7 to 8 months before we released the film." Bruckheimer felt the film was overlooked and that critics, quote, "were reviewing the budget, not reviewing the movie." Armie Hammer said, quote, "If you go back and read the negative reviews, most of them aren't about the content of the movie, but more what's behind it. It's got to the point with American critics where if you're not as smart as Plato, you're stupid. That seems like a sad way to live your life. While we were making it, we knew people were gunning for it. I think it was the popular thing when the movie hit rocky terrain, they jumped on the bandwagon to try and bash it. They tried to do the same thing with World War Z. It didn't work. The movie was successful. Instead, they decided to slit the jugular of our movie."
Well, because World War Z was actually kind of good.
Well, it came out in the same year.
But it was also kind of good.
Johnny Depp was 2 hours late to the script read-through because he wanted to read in full makeup and costume.
Oh my god.
Which oh I thought my was god, very
that
funny.
That is the most Johnny Depp thing I've ever
I know,
ever
I thought heard. That was really funny.
It's incredible.
This film is one of the biggest financial flops of all time and lost the studio between 94 and 119 million.
Oh my god, bro.
This is the first version of the Lone Ranger in any medium in which the actor playing Tonto receives top billing.
Oh, let's go.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
But I mean, it's Johnny Depp, so of course, no one else is going to be above Johnny Depp.
That'll do it.
The Lone Ranger comments that it has been 9 years since he last fired his gun. This movie was shot in 2012, 9 years since the Lone Ranger's most recent television appearance.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool. Which I thought
was really cool. For the train scenes seen in the film, a large oval-shaped track had to be built near Albuquerque, New Mexico, to have rail lines that went north, south, east, and west. There were a total of 6 railroad locations in the film, but the oval was the largest. All the work was done by the Gandy Dancer Railroad and Excavating Services, who brought...
The Gandy Dancers?
Yes, that's what it's
Let's
called.
Let's go.
Let's call them Gandy Dancers.
£3,889,425 of 33-foot rail, bars, tie places, and ties from Blythe, California.
But you say that like it's a lot.
The whole rail line had to be removed after filming was completed because the rail line had no outside interchange.
Oh my wow. God.
So you're wondering where all that budget went.
That's
went
really
into that.
Dumb, though, because if they put it in a place that had actual, like, outside stuff, they could have, like... mitigated a lot of... Okay.
Don't look at me. I didn't film it.
That's really dumb.
So, time to recast. Who would we play in The Lone Ranger?
Let's all just cut right to the chase. Samuel's The Lone Ranger.
Yes, you are The Lone Ranger.
We know this is true.
John, I want to put you as Cole. As the big railroad
guy.
Tyler.
I'll give y'all a hint. I'm the only one among us who can play a certain role.
I have the
same amount of Native American that Johnny Depp does in me. Swear to God, I'm not kidding.
I don't want to put you there though. I'm trying to.
That's okay. I'm just saying for the audience. I'm probably at this point.
Well, also we have said before we're just casting based on character.
Probably like
we kind of like mitigate the whole. You know,
yeah.
Gender,
I just wanted to,
ethnicity, I all of that. I could see you doing Fuller.
Yeah.
I could see you doing Fuller.
Yeah, I'd have fun with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Daniela's red would be just a
fact. Just, honestly, Danielle is most Helena Bonham Carter roles.
That is the best compliment I think I've ever been given. That's amazing. If you're out there, please let us be on screen together.
Helena Bonham Carter, thanks for tuning in.
Okay.
Big fan of the show.
So, what would be the drinking game for this? We said has to happen with trains.
Every time there's a train on screen, take a shot.
No, take a drink.
No, take a drink. Finish your drink anytime they make fun of the Lone Ranger IP.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
And take a shot every time Red fires her leg.
Oh, I was going to say take a shot that's every time perfect. The horse is somewhere it can't be.
Oh, also that.
Yeah.
Like, on
the
road,
like
in
three
a tree,
times.
On top of a train, like,
Yeah.
And on then, top and, of the strip mall.
Yes.
Step two, die.
Take a drink every time Tonto feeds his bird.
Oh my gosh, that would be kind of good though. Favorite and least favorite moments from this one.
So my favorite part of this film is something that we have not spoken about yet, which is Hans Zimmer's score.
It's really good.
It's very good.
In my opinion, one of his best movie scores up there with Interstellar and The Dark Knight.
Really?
How to Train Your Dragon not up there for you?
One of Hans Zimmer's scores.
That is Hans Zimmer.
No, it's not. It's John Powell.
You definitely told me it was Hans Zimmer.
I definitely didn't because it's definitely John Powell. It's been John Powell.
You definitely told me it was Hans Zimmer, and this whole time I thought it was Hans Zimmer.
No.
We're getting in the weeds.
Yeah,
getting in the weeds.
About Hans Zimmer.
But yeah, one of Hans Zimmer's best scores, and probably the most... it elevates this movie a lot from where it would be, so I think it's probably my favorite part of the film.
Okay.
What's your least favorite?
I think making fun of the Lone Ranger IP.
That's
as much
fair.
As they
that
did.
That is very fair.
Yeah.
I have mine. If
yeah,
well,
hit it. Smoke if you got him.
My favorite is Silver being where he shouldn't be. It's just so stupidly funny. It cracked me up every single time it happened, and it just like. Ugh, it made me so happy. It was so funny. And the way that they would react where Tonto's just like, something is very wrong with this horse. Or like when he's like, Can this horse fly? And Tonto just goes, don't be stupid, but doesn't explain. Like, it was so funny. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And then my least favorite is every time Rebecca did anything or was a character.
Anytime Rebecca was on screen.
Anytime she was on screen, I was like, okay, next scene. Fast forward, please.
Yeah. My favorite part of the movie, with no close second, as this one brought me a lot of joy, was in the climax of the movie. There are two trains that face each other that create a platform where everybody sits and does their thing.
Oh yeah!
And as one of the trains pulls off, it hurts and injures all the band that's sitting there. In the end of the movie, the band returns, bandaged, bruised. One guy had his face completely wrapped up.
All of the tubas destroyed.
All of the instruments are like banged up.
And messed up.
Oh,
and
my
that
gosh.
Was the hardest I think I'd laughed throughout the entire movie, and that brought me much joy.
That was very funny.
Oh God, man! I gotta be honest. I don't want to piggyback and or sound like a white knight, but boy howdy, I do not like when they don't do their female leads justice. And
if you're gonna have like a female lead, like even in 2013, I feel like they were getting better about it.
Yeah.
And like they just chose not to.
Yeah.
They were like, no, she's gonna be like, she's gonna not be the damsel in distress, but she's gonna be feisty, but also stupid and needs help all the time. And it's like,
and
okay,
just straight dumb.
Don't Jurassic World this. Like, we don't need this.
Hate saying this, but she felt like she was written by men.
Yes.
Yeah.
She felt like she was written by men who think they know what feminists are.
Yep.
And they're like, yes, feminists are just, like,
feisty.
Getting up in men's faces. All they're feisty.
Yeah,
like,
she'll give the kid the gun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, really big on, like, parenting in movies. Like, that's something I pay a lot of attention to. So when she came out and, like, just gave the kid the gun and, like, didn't act like a mother to her child.
No.
I genuinely took that personally. I'm like,
excuse me. She never acted
me.
Like a mom to that kid. And I'm like, that is just not acceptable.
Yeah,
like,
your child needs a parent and you are...
And clearly you're not it.
Yeah, you're not it.
All right, John, what about you?
So my favorite, and I think it's a moment we severely overlooked, is as Tonto is explaining to this kid about, you know, this origin of Lone Ranger, we get probably the best jump cut to where right after Tonto just finishes his line to, like, the kid, we cut to immediately Lone Ranger getting shot by an arrow. Just
oh,
like,
my gosh!
Oh,
we
yeah.
totally forgot about that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that was the
yeah,
best
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the shoulder with an arrow, looks at it, and... like screams and falls
the most
down.
Slapstick manner just.
It was so
falls.
Funny. Oh my god!
Out of nowhere.
That was very,
so
very
good.
Naturally, because it's me, I have to give an honorable mention. But whenever Tonto accidentally just bullseyes the female lead right in the forehead.
Oh, with the rock.
Oh my
god. That was the best moment of the movie. I was like, finally, knock
character
her out,
redeemed.
Make her stop talking.
And I mean, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but I mean, I think the writing, in both the writing and performance department, the female lead needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I don't think they gave it enough work.
I will say, we did gloss over one incredible moment, which was Tonto's crawling under the train, and he gets up to where he can see Danny, the little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got, you know, they were just talking about how they've got, like, a bunch of, like, fruit and food and grapes in there, and as Tonto's face appears, I was like, oh my god, drop a grape in his mouth, but I was kidding, I wasn't being serious, I was like, drop a grape in his mouth, and then Tonto just goes... make trade and hands him the thing and he drops a grape in his mouth and there were a couple of times where me and Tyler
but just totally
things,
called it
and then
the
it
movie opened with them being on the train and the Lone Ranger's sitting there, your pre-Lone Ranger, and there's this Puritan woman with her child. The child drops the teddy bear on the ground, so he picks it up and I'm just like, watch, he just throws it out the window and he's just like, catch, and he throws it to her and then it gets sucked out of the window and I'm like,
this is gonna be that kind of movie. It just like the times when we predicted crackhead stuff happening that we did not actually expect to happen.
It was pretty epic.
Then of course Tonto walking in and the kid slingshotting the grape into his mouth, and then him keeping fighting was very good. I loved it. Very Jack Sparrow.
Very much.
Okay, well, out of 10 crows, What would you rate? 10
dead birds.
10 dead birds.
So I'm going to give this movie a... I'm going to give this movie the Highlander score. 7.5, because it's very similar to me in terms of the story doesn't make a lot of sense. Aspects of it are a little crackhead, but it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun. Yeah, in a lot of ways, for me, very similar to Highlander.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't hate, but this movie definitely was not for me. I don't like this vibe. I don't like the fact that you can very clearly tell there's a lot of studio meddling. The characters, the main two characters were phenomenal, in my opinion. I think they did. I mean, with what they were given, the two actors did a great job. Mm-hmm. So that did a lot of carrying for the movie. The cinematography was great, which did a lot of carrying for the movie. But I wouldn't want to rewatch this again. This was not as fun for me as it was for everybody else. And it is for that reason I'm going to give this a 4 out of 10.
Ooh, okay. Boo, boo, yeah, this
man. I hate him. Oh, I never liked him.
I hate him, I hate him, I hate him.
John?
Where's the heretic? For me, honestly, I'm in the same boat as Samuel. I think this deserves 7.5 dead crows because it's... I mean, like Samuel said, it's enjoyable to watch, and that's, you know, kind of the appeal, same appeal Highlander had to me. It was all over the place. It didn't know where it wanted to land, but I could see myself being like, huh, I don't know what to watch. I don't want anything super crazy. This is just a good, like, mindless kind of watch just to kind of like, eh, this is fun to watch. Not anything too intensive that you have to, like, put your brain power. It's not like Cloud Atlas or anything where you have to, like, hyper-focus. But overall, I mean, the comedy makes it great rewatchability for me.
The rewatchability.
See, for me, it has fantastic rewatchability.
Yeah. The jokes get better. Yeah, no. 7.5, I think, is a good score.
I feel very comfortable giving it an 8.
Ooh.
Because I honestly really... I the comedy just hit really well for me. And I just enjoyed it a lot. So when you said 7.5, I was like, for me, it's got to be just slightly higher. Because I enjoyed it. It was really fun to watch, like, in a group, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
very good party movie,
yes,
in my opinion.
Yes, it's a great party movie, absolutely. Especially when you have people like me, Samuel, and John, and then people like Tyler, who... like are not
no
going
to
feel
no one wants to be a Squidward.
Well, who are not going to feel the same way about the movie, and therefore the reactions are even funnier because like not everyone is reacting the same way to the same things.
Yeah, it adds some depth to it.
But
just sitting there like, "Come on."
But no, I enjoyed it a lot. I love I don't know what it is. The horse just got me. I honestly gave it an extra 0.5 for the horse comedy.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Because that was just so stupid in my kind of stupid. Like,
I was just
going to
say,
my kind of stupid.
The horse humor is very Danielle humor.
It's random. It's out of nowhere. Like, after an emotional moment, they're, like, crying on the shore of a lake, and then they look up, and a horse has a cowboy hat on in a tree, and I'm like, this could not be more my humor.
They're getting chased out by a mob, and the horse is drinking
malt
liquor.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny.
Something very wrong with that horse.
So I had to give it an extra 0.5 just for the silver comedy.
It's like in a Harry Potter, you just reminded me, in Harry Potter, where it's Harry Potter 4, and the lady's like, the horses drink only single malt whiskey.
Yes.
It's my kind of horses.
Yes. No, that kind of humor, that unexpected, like, awkward kind of what's happening humor is very much my humor. This is a really fun party movie. As far as I can, aside from the whole, like, cutting out the heart scene, this doesn't really have, well, cutting out the heart and then the, you know, really sad slaughter scene.
Oh.
Aside from that, you could probably watch this with your kids.
Yeah, the brothel scene is a little...
Oh, yeah, the brothel scene is a little... It's not that bad, though. Like, nothing actually happened.
Not as bad as it could have been.
There's no nudity or anything. It's just, you know, there's obviously women doing work and, you know, all of that.
I forgot. There's actually the big ups on the movie. They did one of my favorite things ever, which was shot the thing that they didn't want to show you through the reflection of the Lone Ranger's eye, and I thought that was really cool.
What was it?
during when he was cutting out his heart, you see the Lone Ranger's eye close, and you see the reflection through his eye, and I was like, wow, that is an incredible shot. Big ups on the movie, and that was a really good shot. Compliment that, because I've been talking a bunch of smack. I thought that was phenomenal.
See, and here's the thing. They wrote Rebecca horribly, but they wrote Red perfectly.
Yeah.
Where, like, the guy is downstairs trying to, like, you know, trying to get a girl to, like, you know, hop on him for no money, and she just, like, she's like, all right, give me a second. Pops her leg up on the thing, aims it at him, and then fires it off and shoots his chair, not him, so that they both go toppling, and she's like, no free rides, and like, and just reminds everybody of the rules, and then goes back to what she's doing, and I'm like, how did they do so well with one character, and so terribly with another one?
It's dreadful,
like,
isn't it?
Wow.
Pretty bad, isn't it?
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
But this is a very fun movie to watch with friends, and like, if your kids are a little older, you could probably watch it with your kids. If you let them watch Pirates of the Caribbean, you would let them watch this. So that's kind of a good benchmark for it. But yeah, unless y'all have any final thoughts, I think we're ready to get out of here.
I think that's it.
Okay, well, just a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment, or on Twitter at @artists_mad. Be on the lookout for more news about Next to Normal as we go into rehearsals for that in just a couple weeks, actually. We're going to be starting our rehearsals. You can visit our website for more information about all of our upcoming stuff. That's madartistco.com. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or requests that you would like to see us review in the future, you can shoot us a message on social media or email us at bannerbox.madartists@gmail.com. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. It really helps us out. And we will see you guys next time.